Valid through October 11th. See store for details.
Was Steven Strasburg shamed into starting Game 4 of the NLDS? Who cares? He's looking good.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
You know, a lot of my team is kind of under the weather with the change of weather and the air conditioning in the hotel and the air conditioning here. And this is time of the year, you know, for mold around Chicago. I think it's mold because I have it too.
He thinks it's mold. That's Dusty Baker from yesterday, and I know we spent a ton of time talking about it, but we're going to talk about it again today because this is one of the more bizarre postseason Major League Baseball stories that we've seen in quite some time. Steven Strasburg, not going to start the game, starts the game, looks good doing it. Cubs and Nats underway right now. You can hear that game 4 from Wrigley Field, which was supposed to be played yesterday but was postponed due to the inclement weather. On our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. That means that this little three-hour spectacle, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, is on 1600 AM only today, at least until the game is over. It started a little bit after 3 o'clock and presumably will be over at some point before 7 o'clock tonight. Speaking of 7 o'clock tonight, we have the other postseason game, the Game 5 in the American League Divisional Series featuring the Yankees and the Indians. That should be a good one. Corey Kluber on the mound for Cleveland and CC Sabathia, who spent many years wearing an Indians uniform pitching for the Yankees. Baseball news to get to today, the Red Sox parting ways with John Farrell. It's all coming your way before 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk college football with Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com coming up at the bottom of the hour. You and I fans, you're going to hear the one and only Gary Rima tonight at 5 o'clock. You and I suffering a homecoming defeat last weekend at the hands of Western Illinois. Now goes on the road to take on a top-ranked South Dakota State team. I think they're up to number 4 this week in the FCS pool. Tristan Cockcroft answers your fantasy football questions. That's not a typo. I don't write any of this stuff out. I just chose that really awkward time to misspeak. Tristan Cockcroft answers your fantasy football questions tonight at 6 o'clock. And if you are a fan of the band Hairball, you are going to be wanting to participate tonight in the 6 o'clock showdown. At 6:30 tonight, we've got a pair of tickets to see Hairball along with the Large Midgets, as they play the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on the November 18th. That's a Saturday night at 7:30. That'll be our prize today for the 6 o'clock showdown. What's up, Alex?
I feel like karma has bitten me in the ass, Todd.
Does this have anything to do with having to sit through Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz today in Iowa City?
No. Okay. It has to do with what we were talking about with Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
We were making fun of him because he was talking about Steven Strasburg being under the weather. He thinks it's the mold. He thinks it's the weather change. Well, whatever the case is, the mold, the weather change, it got me. It got me.
Well, I noticed you sent me a text today that you were running late because you needed to stop and pick up cough drops.
I picked up cough drops. I'm feeling a little bit better, but man, the weather change, it gets me every time. Now, if I was a pitcher in the postseason, it probably would not keep me from starting a playoff game. I will say that.
I wanted to do the show in a surgical mask today.
And I decided against my better judgment not to do that, although a Chicago radio program on 670 The Score in Chicago, Spiegel and Parkins, this is great marketing. They went out and got a bunch of surgical masks and then slapped their logo across them, and people were wearing them today or are wearing them at Wrigley Field today. That is genius.
See, that's great because not only does it mock Dusty Baker, but
Mock the mold is the hashtag.
It keeps people from spreading their germs, which are probably running around pretty rampant right now,
you know,
in this weather.
It really is a public service that they're doing. It really is when you stop and think about it. Cubs and Nats scoreless right now, although Washington's got runners on the corners. They're threatening in the top of the third inning against Jake Arrieta. We'll obviously keep our eyes on Wrigley Field in that contest, and I'm going to be absolutely worthless until that game is over. Although I broke out the big guns today. I got the alternate spring training hat on, the Cubby Bear logo that they wore in the mid-80s when I was a kid. I think it's the greatest Cubs logo. Plus, I've got the shoes that I bought from the Cubs at the Cubs convention in the winter of 2015. They have made the postseason every year since I purchased these shoes for the princely sum of $10. They're nice shoes, too, and they were brand new. It's not like they were pre-worn. But we got Hawkeye football to talk about, too. There's not a ton of Hawkeye football to talk about. It's the bye week for Iowa before they have to travel to Evanston next weekend to take on Northwestern. But as is tradition, as they would say on South Park, instead of Kirk Ferentz meeting the media on Tuesdays during the bye week, he sends out his coordinators, Phil Parker on the defensive side of the ball and Brian Ferentz for the first time on the offensive side of the ball. They met with the media. We were there today in Iowa City, and I don't know. There wasn't really a whole lot to take away. I think Brian Ferentz was about as plain-spoken as he could be under the circumstances. I mean, he's always a straight shooter, and if Hawkeye fans are taking the start hard at 4-2, the staff is as well, and Brian Ferentz is right there with you. And then Phil Parker, with perhaps the understatement of the century, saying Iowa's not really much of a pressure team. He was asked about blitzing today. He was asked about A.J. Epenesa and a lot of other things, but there just wasn't a whole lot of substance. And that, not necessarily by design, but I think the team has some issues it needs to address at this point. And that's that. And I don't know. What did you take away today in listening to the? But I thought it was interesting, but I don't think there was anything that you could really mine for a ton of information or a discussion topic or two among the fan. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention, just like my elementary, middle school, and high school years, and all of those years at the University of Iowa as well. But what did I miss today? I mean, I was sitting there second row, and I walked out of there after about an hour. Thankfully, I'm using the new parking app now so that I don't get parking tickets when the meter runs out.
There's a parking app?
Yes.
Oh, man, that would have probably saved me a couple
of
times.
It's nice. Sends you a little warning. You're running low. You can reload it by 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever you need.
And you don't have to take about $20 worth of quarters out of your bank account?
We said when Tyler and I used to go down there, that was always our excuse to stop and eat lunch before we went to the news conference because we needed to get change for the parking meter. So now that's out the window because, like everything else, you can just use your phone nowadays. Speaking of phones, we'd like you to use yours. The Hertine and Stocker text line's available for you. 319-366-1600, Hertine and Stocker, located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, the sponsor for the text line. As we mentioned, baseball underway right now. The Iowa coordinators meeting the media. Lots of things going on in the sports world to get to today, but I keep going back to what's going on, or what went on leading up to the game in Chicago. The Nationals are up 1-0 on the Cubs as they head to the bottom of the third inning. Last night we're on the air, and the game gets postponed, which I'm surprised it took Major League Baseball as long to push it to today as it did. And then you had Dusty Baker saying that Steven Strasburg still was not going to be available to throw today, that he'd thrown a bullpen session in preparation for pitching in Game 5, and he was just a no-go. And then there were some reports that, no, the bullpen session was on Monday, not yesterday. And then there were reports, as Dusty, you heard him say, the mold in Chicago and the change of the weather and the air conditioning at the hotel, his guys were sick. And Strasburg's one of the guys who's sick. And then today, this comes from Scott Boras. I think he was the original leaker of the information, Boris is Steven Strasburg's agent. Yeah, I guess he's feeling a little bit better and he's going to go now. It's hard not to look at this and feel as if Strasburg was shamed into taking the ball for the start, and he has absolutely looked tremendous. I saw somebody compare him to peak Mark Pryor on Cubs Twitter earlier today, and it never really dawned on me, but then I watch him, and after seeing that comparison, I was like, yeah, I can see it. When Pryor was on, a lot of similarities to Steven Strasburg, but for whatever reason, and there's a bunch of information out there and conjecture that Strasburg is a creature of habit, and if he's not 100%, he doesn't want the ball in particular situations. I don't want to say a diva, but in a similar vein. And he doesn't take the ball, he doesn't want the ball. I don't know what happened here, but then I wake up this morning and the first thing I see is now the third iteration of the story, Strasburg's going to be starting game four, which, again, he's looking good, but this is really, really bizarre. And it just has me scratch my head, because yesterday I said, is this gamesmanship on the part of Dusty Baker? Oh, it can't be. No, it can't be. And then you look today, he's out there on the mound in short sleeves with the rain. It's spitting rain. It's cold. The wind is blowing in. It's miserable. If you were just getting over the flu or flu-like symptoms, or you were under the weather, I don't know. That doesn't look like somebody who's either under the weather or just recovering from being under the weather. Maybe it was all gamesmanship. I don't know.
I guess it could be, but what's the point of that? Does it really matter in the long term? Does it really matter whether before the game who the other manager thinks is going to pitch as opposed to who is actually going to pitch? I don't know if you mentioned this yet, but Jason Hayward was not in the original starting lineup, was he?
I don't believe he was not. 405 in his career.
But he's hitting 405 against Steven Strasburg, so he was put in the lineup. Maybe it is gamesmanship, but like you said, it just has that weird feeling of, wow, Steven Strasburg did not initially want to pitch today. How many starting pitchers with that bulldog mentality do you know that would be begging to get the ball today? And I'm not calling him a diva. I think he is a fantastic pitcher, and he's off to a good start in this game. But for somebody who is a little bit under the weather, for somebody who's going through the weather change and has a little bit of a cold, it seemed like it was way too early to make the call that he was too under the weather to pitch today and to make the announcement last night. It never passed the smell test to me one bit.
The whole situation is just bizarre, and now you have the Nationals. If they win today, the series goes back to Washington and there's no travel day. And then the other part of the story is last night, apparently the Nationals had a very hard time finding lodging last night because they checked out of the hotel. They weren't expected to be around. And the next thing you know, you got a travel party of, I think it was just under 100 people, 97 or something along those lines. And they're looking for rooms well, let's put it this way. They're not staying at a Holiday Inn Express.
No.
Major League teams aren't. So they had a hard time finding a premium hotel in Chicago with enough rooms where they could spend the night. The whole thing, the situation is just a mess. And Major League Baseball bears some of the brunt for that because they should have called that game off, postponed it a much earlier in the day than they did. But here we are. And as we mentioned, the Nationals up 1-0 on the Cubs. That's one of two games today. The other one is a pivotal do-or-die game five for the Yankees and the Indians. We mentioned the pitching matchup, Corey Kluber and CC Sabathia. We'll have that game for you all three frequencies on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Poll question has to do with that game today at KGYMRadio.com. Who's going to win and advance to face the Astros in the American League Championship Series, the Yankees or the Indians? Poll question brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast here in Cedar Rapids, and I'm sure there's quite a few people there hunkered down watching the Cubs game at this point. And if it keeps up, it could be a good night for the bar business. It'll be a lot of Cubs fans drowning their sorrows.
We have a packed show today, so I just wanted to throw this in here. And I'm not a huge soccer fan by any means, but what happened to the U.S. men's national team last night is a huge embarrassment for the sport in this country. And I think everybody...
Why do you hate the flag?
No, it is...
Why do you hate America?
The United States soccer team, puts millions and millions and millions of dollars into their grassroots program, lost a match to Trinidad and Tobago and will not be in the World Cup in 2018 in Russia. That's all I have to say. I'm not a huge soccer guy, but I feel bad for those in this country who are, because there's no excuse for that.
I got nothing on this other than the fact that they didn't even need to win. They needed to tie the game. I'm sorry, the match.
They needed a draw.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you.
Either
you gotta
way,
use the
vernacular.
Correct terminology. And they couldn't even manage a draw, a tie, whatever you want to call it. It's as Mark Dukes put it, and I did get a chance to listen to Scott and Mark today because with them at 1600 AM only, and the radio that we've got in the office was tuned into the Cubs Nationals game. But I think it was Mark who made the comment earlier in the office that it's for the 40th year in a row, the fastest growing game in the United States. I don't understand, and I know this has been covered ad nauseum today by ESPN, but I don't understand in a country the size of the United States how we can't field a competitive team. Now, I've heard, and I'm trying to remember whether it was Lebatard or Russillo today. I think it was on the Russillo show, driving down to Iowa City for the news conference. But basically, in the rest of the world, soccer is the poor kid's sport, and everybody plays. All you need is a ball. And here in the United States, it's not necessarily a poor kid's sport. It's sort of up there with hockey as far as you have to be relatively upwardly mobile to play at an event. I don't necessarily know whether I buy into that or not. I just, for whatever reason, and I guess you can blame people like me who don't care enough about it to talk about it, even though yesterday would have been a great opportunity to discuss soccer leading into that game last night, which you hear nothing about it, and then the U.S. loses, and I'm going to bed last night, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm just trying to find information about Moldgate in Chicago, and it's nothing but, well, the U.S. had to play Trinidad and Tobago jokes. Like, when you went to type that in and hit the tweet button, you probably should have known 500 other people were going to make that same joke. Well, I had to play two teams, two countries. No. But I can't put my finger on it. It's probably not going to change. You've got a U.S. women's national team that is tremendous, and you got proponents of them today saying, look, why is it that they can't get any attention or any support when they're in a better position to succeed possibly than the men? First time since, what, 1986? Iowa State beats Oklahoma for the first time since 1990 on Saturday, and now for the first time since 1986, the U.S. men's national team isn't going to qualify for the World Cup. Fox has the broadcasting rights to the World Cup, and I read a story today that network may wind up taking an absolute bath on...
It's going to be tough for them. Who's going to tune in?
Who's going to go to a bar and order water and salad to... I don't know. I'm going to... No bar in particular that I'm thinking of, but I know one bar owner is not a huge fan of soccer because the soccer fans don't spend a whole lot of money when they're in there watching matches on TV. But if I had the answer, I'd be Bruce Arena. Right? Isn't that the guy's name?
He is. But
or did I just make that up?
No, you got it right, but
Jurgen
I don't know.
Jurgen Klinsmann?
Jurgen Klinsmann is the former coach.
Three seconds of soccer knowledge here.
Bruce Arena will soon be the former coach.
What's Pele doing now? And he's not even American.
Clint Dempsey?
Although, look, I had never heard of the kid, and I'm probably going to mispronounce his name, and all you soccer hooligans out there can laugh at me, but is it Pulisic? The kid from Pennsylvania who's 19 and like a phenom. He's like the soccer version of Bryce Harper. And he was on, of all shows, 60 Minutes over the weekend, which was only on my TV because I was watching the NFL game and it's over and 60 Minutes starts up. I got drawn into that story. This kid looks tremendous. And I didn't know anything about him. And here I am displaying my naivete for everybody to know. The kid is the biggest soccer star the United States has ever produced, and I don't know who he is. But I bet I'm not the only one. And now, for the next four and a half years, I guess he'll be, you know, making his hay overseas. They said he's going to get the largest, is it posting fee? I think the terminology is roughly the same as across sports. But he's going to bring in more money than any American ever has as far as his rights. He's currently playing in Germany. Somewhere. Soccer people, feel free to correct me and call me an idiot on the Hertin and Stocker text
Tone's
line.
Got your back.
Does he?
He says that he's 18, but you got it right.
Pulisic. Look, that's awesome. A country this size produces one of those kids. Where are the other...
I talked to somebody who really follows... My former roommate really follows this closely. And then Alexi Lawless. I saw him talk on another network earlier today.
Still has the orange hair.
Still has the orange hair. And he echoed what my friend said. You look at some of these these countries who are powerful, who have really good soccer tradition, and they are grooming these kids to play for their clubs from I think age 10 on. I could be off a little bit there, but they're bringing these kids in from age 10 and 11 and grooming them to play a certain style, a certain way, with the certain rules that everybody knows, and you can really build an identity stylistically and succeed with that. You think about the best teams in the NBA, the best teams in the NFL. They have an identity. The entire team knows what they want to accomplish and how they want to accomplish it. In soccer, you have college with different rules than the MLS, with different rules than high school, with completely different styles. And that's what you're seeing out there. You're seeing some talented players.
Freddie Adu.
But they have no idea what they're trying to accomplish. And the other countries are so far ahead of them. And they lose to Trinidad and Tobago,
Landon
who has 1.3 million people.
I'm throwing names out there, and I think these guys are American soccer players. I know Landon Donovan is. Freddie Adu, he was the original phenom.
Well, he was 14 years old.
Right. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
He got started on his professional career.
We
got to
take a break, and Kyle's going to come in here, and he's going to give us a big board update and everything and all that good stuff after the break before we get to Mitch Sherman coming up at the bottom of the hour. But if you're not into soccer, I want to hear from you on the Hertin and Stocker text line. What would get you to pay attention to the sport? Honest discussion. 319-366-1600. Send us those texts. I'm honestly curious, and as time will allow today, leading up until 7 o'clock, maybe we keep this discussion going. Say 6:20. I wish it was 6:28. We'd almost be out the door, and this Cubs game would be over. It may be, the way the wind is blowing, it may be over already today. Nats up 1-0. 4:29, we'll step aside, take a quick break. As we mentioned, Kyle has your first big board update of the day on the way after this.
October is National Cooperative Month, and Linn County REC wants to answer this question for you. What makes being a member of a co-op different? It's pretty simple, really. When you're a member of a co-op, you are also an owner, so you own a stake in the business. Linn County REC members maintain democratic control of the co-op, so they elect fellow members to represent them on the board of directors. And you may not realize, electric cooperatives are not-for-profit. That means any excess revenue gets returned to members in the form of capital credits each year. Also, as a cooperative, Linn County REC has a sincere concern for community, supporting the areas where their members live and work. From sponsorships to economic development efforts, Linn County REC stands as a driving force in the community, giving their members a voice and living and working right alongside the people they serve. All of this is just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
This is the Jim Scott Udash. Friday afternoon at 3, we'll come to you live from the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym class will be live at Marion before their matchup with West Delaware. Here on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. We'll talk with coaches and athletes as we count down to kickoff and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. Friday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
4:31, this will be a quick in and quick out because I have a feeling people want to hear Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com talk college football as opposed to the other type of football, which that tweet actually got a little bit of traction last night among Hawkeye fans after the U.S. lost to Trinidad and Tobago. I tweeted, that's football. And, you know, Hawkeye fans, it's Twitter's dumb, but I spend way too much time on it, and it's all about the brand nowadays. So they tell me. I don't know what my brand is. I have a sinking suspicion that I do, and it ain't a good one. 4:31, let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker spoke with the media in Iowa City today, and with the return of Brandon Snyder, he's likely to start at free safety, and sophomore Amani Hooker will slide over to be the starter at strong safety for the foreseeable future. He also spoke encouragingly about Manny Ragumba's recovery. Meanwhile, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz didn't really give an update on running back James Butler, but didn't sound particularly optimistic that he'd return after the bye week as initially targeted. Pro Football Focus released their weekly all-conference teams, and Iowa DBs Brandon Snyder and Amani Hooker were named to the All-Big Ten defense. Snyder, in fact, was also named to the National Team of the Week after recording 3 tackles, 2 pass breakups, and a pick 6. Iowa State running back David Montgomery was named to the All-Big 12 offense for the 4th time in 6 weeks, and defensive back Brian Peavy to the defense. It was confirmed late yesterday that Cedar Rapids native and NASCAR Cup Series driver Landon Castle would be leaving Front Row Motorsports after the 2017 season, finding himself in a familiar position searching for a new team. Castle has 253 Cup starts since 2010, and his next team will be his 5th. Today on KGYM, over on the FM frequencies right now, we've got the Cubs and Nationals going. The Nationals lead 1-0 in the 4th, and following that game, we'll bring you the deciding Game 5 of the AL Divisional Series between the Yankees and hosting Indians. It's going to be CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber on the hill. That game's going to begin shortly after 7 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Interesting discussion about soccer going on the Hurteen and Stocker text line right now, and if we do have time, which it's a 3-hour show, 2.5 remaining, we'll definitely have the time. I do want to get into this because it's probably the only opportunity for us to talk about the sport until the next time something cataclysmic happens.
I was going to say, I hate that we have to talk about it the day after the most embarrassing loss in the history of U.S. soccer, but hey.
Who's talking about them if they tie or beat Trinidad
nobody.
And Tobago?
Nobody. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, okay,
nobody.
They made it. We'll save our outrage for when they get beat by somebody better. And they ain't getting beat by anybody now. They're watching on Fox like the rest of the United States. 4:33, we'll step aside, and when we return, we'll talk college football and maybe even a little college hoops with Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming your way on 1600 AM KGYM. Back with more after this.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mmm.
Mm. Oh, baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
The Home Depot has a new paint for people who want to spend less time painting, which is pretty much everyone. New Timeless Paint from PPG, starting at only $33.98 a gallon. It's a brand trusted by pros for over 100 years. Formulated for one-coat coverage, it's the toughest, most durable paint you can buy. And you can only buy it here. New PPG Timeless Paint, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see store for details.
You know I love Dollar Shave Club's razors, but did you know they offer so much more? Everything for your hair, face, skin, and shower delivered right to you. And right now you can try it all. You can get their first month starter set, which includes travel size shave butter, body cleanser, butt wipes, and a month of their best razors for just $5. After that, replacement cartridges ship for just a few bucks a month. Don't miss out. Get your starter set for just $5 today exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/Jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Jones.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to going back to Talladega.
Stenhouse Jr. returns to the site of his first cup win with a spot in the round of eight on the line. I'm Susie Armstrong, and that story's next on Ned Jarrett's World of Racing.
Introducing the Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring the new Comfort Flex waistband and four-way flex technology that moves with you. It's the flexibility you need to get more out of every day and tap into your unrealized potential. See where more range of motion takes you. Wrangler Performance Series. Less restriction, more living.
Hey, Danica Patrick here. When I have friends and guests at the track who want to hear me drop pearls of wisdom during the race, I send them to Racing Electronics.
You all right back there?
I think so. Other than hitting a car, I didn't hit anything, but there's a tire down or something.
If you aren't listening to all the action live, you're missing out. Don't forget to rent a scanner or fan vision for the races. Go to racingelectronics.com to pre-rent for great discounts on your scanner and fan vision rentals.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has won two of the three restrictor plate races this season in the Cup Series, in the spring at Talladega and Independence Weekend in July at Daytona. Stenhouse is still keeping his postseason hopes alive and feels fairly confident heading to Talladega this weekend.
You know, we want to go in and win Talladega. Would be nice. Solidify and make sure that we get to that next round with a win. But if not, I think it's a racetrack that we could still gain a lot of points. And, nothing's guaranteed when you go there. So, I've been crashed out of them just as easy as finishing well. So, definitely going to feel confident going to Talladega for sure.
I'm Susie Armstrong, and this is the World of Racing on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show, coming your way on a Wednesday afternoon. Alex Kuhn along with me, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight here on 1600 AM. Right now on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, you can catch the remaining innings of the Washington and Chicago NLDS game. The Nationals have the bases loaded in the top of the fourth inning with a 1-0 lead. My apologies if you are DVRing the game and want to see it in its entirety when you get home, but yeah, I may turn this off. Maybe put a replay of the Iowa State-Oklahoma game or something on and watch something a little bit more fun at this point. Joining us now to talk college football, and I'm sure Iowa State, Oklahoma will come up, it's Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com. And Mitch, before we get to the Cyclones, I've seen you make a couple appearances at Kinnick Stadium so far this year, so I want to get your opinion on what you've seen from the Hawkeyes so far. What have you liked, and what do you think Iowa needs to work on during the bye week?
Well, yes, I have made three appearances so far this year at Kinnick Stadium, although I wasn't really there for the North Texas game. I was there more for the festivities surrounding the Wave and the Children's Hospital. So, what does Iowa need to work on? I think you can see from the consecutive losses that Iowa had that there's definitely some work on the offensive side of the ball that needs to be done, and I'm sure that in reading some of the comments made by Brian Ferentz today out of Iowa City, I can tell you that they're working on the passing game, getting involved. satisfied, I think. Maybe that's not exactly the right word. You're never satisfied in this game, but I think they've been happy with some of the things they've seen from the running game. To me, they seem solid in a lot of defense, but some in the Michigan State exposed Iowa. Iowa prides itself, as everyone in, around Hawkeye country knows, on that toughness. You've seen it definitely shine through at times on the defensive side, but I'm sure Iowa except the strengths that it has. And I feel like Iowa has as good of a group of linebackers as anybody in the Big Ten, and they want to continue to put those guys in better spots to make plays on the defensive side.
Sticking in the Big Ten West, the team that Iowa will have to play in 2 weeks in Evanston, the Northwestern Wildcats, have you been surprised with their struggles? They seem like a trendy pick early on to possibly make things interesting in the Big Ten West.
Yeah, I was surprised early, and then, honestly, after the Duke game, lost a little bit of interest in Northwestern. I mean, I've still paid attention to what they're doing, but I've lost interest, I guess, in my pick for Northwestern to be a sleeper team or a surprise team in the West Division. I felt like, after I saw the way they performed to open the year, that I just kind of chalked that one up to being a bad pick. So, definitely time for Northwestern still to make something of this year, but not the start that I expected. Expected better out of Clayton Thorson. Expected more production from Justin Jackson. And it just hasn't gone, for whatever reason, Northwestern's way this year. It seems that they did not pick up where that program left off a year ago, and it's a little bit puzzling to me.
Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com joining us here, talking college football for just a few more minutes with us. You're over in the Omaha area. I want to ask you about Nebraska. They're a 24-point underdog this weekend against Ohio State. They have not been that big of a home underdog since 1957. What has been the reaction there locally to the struggles of the Huskers so far this year?
Yeah, 60 years. Amazing to think that it's been that long, or that... actually amazing to think that Nebraska is that large of an underdog at home. And I was just talking about this with somebody over here who's close to the Nebraska program, and you know, I think it's shocking to see that number. But if I were to ask you what's more likely on Saturday night, for Nebraska to lose by 48 points, so you go 24 points in one direction, or for this game to go to overtime, essentially end in a tie at the end of regulation, I would clearly say it's more likely for Nebraska to lose by 48. It lost by 59 a year ago in Columbus, and you know, the program has not exactly gone in a great direction since that day last year. So things are not exactly good in Lincoln after the second half collapse against Wisconsin. Nebraska appeared to be in a good spot. 5 minutes into the third quarter, got the pick six, was tied 17-17, and then the bottom fell out. Wisconsin took over and really looked like the vintage Nebraska teams that had played so long ago at Memorial Stadium. Looking like this is going to be a season of change, I would say, at Nebraska, if things go according to the script over the next month and a half. Nebraska is looking for a new athletic director, and it would seem the first order of business for that new athletic director will be to assess the progress of Mike Riley as a head coach in his third year. And based on what we've seen so far, the progress is probably not enough to earn him a fourth year.
You lead me right to my next question. What does this athletic department need in a new athletic director and presumably a new head football coach?
I need somebody with a vision to be able to allow Nebraska to carve out an identity in its program. You know, I think the days of Nebraska striving to be a national power are gone. I mean, you can always strive for it, but realistically, Nebraska, before it can get to the level of Ohio State, needs to be at the level of Iowa, you know, for starters, Wisconsin, I think, is about as lofty as sites as Nebraska can set for itself. Wisconsin is a model of what Nebraska, in fact, ideally, in the eyes of many people around that program, fans key members of the inside the program would like to see from the Cornhuskers every Saturday. A team that's physically dominant, a team that has a clear identity, and a team that knows what it wants to do, not just on Saturdays, but 365 days of the year, from its recruiting strategy to the way that it trains to its practice mentality, and in every facet of the game. That's what Nebraska lacks. That's what Nebraska had, not just in its greatest years, but also in its down years when it won 9 or 10 games. And that's something that has been so lacking really for most of the last two decades. So as Nebraska moves forward, we know they're going to get a new athletic director. It's very possible that Nebraska may end up with a new football coach. The first item on the agenda, I would say, is to carve out that identity and make sure that every order of business within that program points in the direction to help Nebraska be what it wants to be. I'm not sure that it knows what it wants to be.
From the Big Ten to the Big 12, what would your reaction have been last week if I told you Iowa State was going to go to Norman and beat Oklahoma with a third-string quarterback and a linebacker that was playing Iron Man football?
Well, I would have known who the linebacker was, for sure, but I wouldn't have known who the third-string quarterback was. I'm not surprised that Joel Lanning is a star on the national stage this week. You know, I wrote about Joel in the spring as he was making that transition from quarterback to middle linebacker, and, of course, have seen him play quarterback over the couple of years prior to that. So I didn't necessarily question what that guy had in his heart and in his tank, but I didn't know who Kyle Kemp was a week ago. And I would have been shocked if you would have told me not just that Iowa State would have won in that fashion, but just that Iowa State would have won, period. With Jacob Park behind center playing his best game as a Cyclone, I would have been shocked if you had told me that Iowa State would have won that game. So, needless to say, as I watched the second half, I was stunned. And, I mean, what a credit to Matt Campbell and that staff to be able to pull off what they did, to know that they were going to be without their starting quarterback from the beginning of the week, and to get those guys to buy in, not get their heads down, but go the opposite direction and believe in the game plan that they put in, believe in Kyle Kemp, to believe that Joel Lanning was going to be able to do the superhuman type things that he did, and then to go out there and just take it to Oklahoma, even after they got behind early in that game. So this was a case of, you know, you don't want to put too much emphasis on coaching in these kind of situations, and of course you give credit to those players who pulled those things off and accomplished that victory. They deserve all of the credit, or so much of the credit. But what a job by Matt Campbell and his staff to thoroughly outcoach Lincoln Riley. And, you know, it wasn't going to be all perfection for this Oklahoma staff with the new young head coach. At some point, there was going to be a moment that exposed him. Just did not expect it to be with the Cyclones on the other sideline.
What's the next step for Matt Campbell and Ames? Now that they've got this signature win, how can they capitalize?
I'm glad you said the next step in Ames, because I thought you were going down a different direction here that people don't want to hear. The next step in Ames is to do what they set out to do at the beginning of this year, and that's to get to the postseason for the first time since 2012. So you got to get to 6 wins. They're 3-2 right now, and they have a game that they have to win, should win, will win this weekend in Ames against Kansas. And then you've got 4 in a row that are extremely difficult. So if you're sitting there going into the last 2 weeks of the year against Baylor and Kansas State, and you're 4-6, you know, there's still hope there. I think the item on the agenda for Iowa State, you know, the key thing to do to make that goal more attainable is to find a way to win somewhere in that 4-game stretch that they have coming up after this weekend. So certainly the job is not done. They've made the job a lot easier this year. They made it a lot easier by winning last week at Oklahoma. But if Iowa State goes on and finishes 5-7, I can assure you that Matt Campbell's not going to be satisfied, because they won on October 7th in Norman.
Speaking of Norman, does this knock the Oklahoma Sooners out of college football playoff contention?
No, I don't think so. I think Oklahoma in some ways still controls its destiny as much as any team in the Big 12. I mean, clearly TCU does. But I think the road to being undefeated for TCU at this point is more difficult than the road for Oklahoma to go into the Big 12 title game with one loss to win out the rest of the way. Because of that win over Ohio State in week 2, Oklahoma has a pretty big edge on, well, first of all, the Buckeyes, if they both end up with one loss and the committee has to make that decision, and then other teams around the country too. So Oklahoma, in my opinion, is not in a bad spot because of what happened. Yeah, it's not a loss that looks good, and the Sooners could certainly benefit from Iowa State having a respectable season and winning six games. But if OU does what it's capable of doing and plays more like the OU that we saw in week two than the OU that we saw last week, then I think they still have their goals in front of them, and they should not be counted out of the college football playoff.
We can't let you go without asking you about one of the more abnormal stories in college football this week. What was your reaction when you found out Gary Anderson was walking away from Oregon State and leaving all that money on the table?
My first reaction was that it couldn't be true. Was that there? You know, there had to be some kind of a settlement in the works, and this was worked out between the agent and the athletic department. And while he wasn't going to take $12 million, you know, there would be some kind of an agreement that had been reached where he would get a percentage of that. But from everything that I've read and the reporting that's been done on this, that doesn't seem to be the case. At least not now in the immediate aftermath. So. It's a story unlike any other in college football, or really in just about any area of sports or the world for that matter, for someone to walk away from that kind of money. So Gary Anderson has always been the kind of guy who marches to his own beat. He was like that as the coach at Wisconsin. You saw it with him leaving in the fashion that he did from Madison. But this has taken it to an entirely new level. So. He must be doing just fine with the money that he's earned so far. And if that's the case, well, then good for him, and he can go enjoy himself not being the coach at Oregon State, because I don't imagine that is a real enjoyable position the way that the Beavers have performed the last two or three years.
Mitch, always good talking with you. Maybe we see you in Iowa City one or two more times this football season. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com, thanks for the time.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Take care.
He left $12.5 million on the table, and
allegedly because he felt guilty about the
not doing a good
assistant
enough job.
Coaches that he hired and the program not performing up to his standards. And it looked, from all indications, that's why he left.
If you were another college AD and you needed a head coach, would you hire a guy who basically admitted to the world that he didn't do a good enough job? And got to the point, allowed things to get to the point where he did such a poor job that he makes that decision. It's the second job that he's walked away from. He walked away from Wisconsin to go to Corvallis, and then when things don't work out in Corvallis, he just up and quits. I think it would be a very tough sell to a fan base to say, we got a guy in Gary Anderson, unless you are at a lower level program or something like that.
He's going to get hired on at a program like he made his hay at, like Utah State or San Jose State. One of those programs will hire him. But no, not a Power 5 school this time around. He'll have to work his way back up to that.
Iowa off this week. We did hear from Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz in Iowa City earlier today. Coach's Cuts is on the way in about 30 minutes. And we'll have that for you, as well as some more talk about the U.S. men's national soccer team losing last night to Trinidad and Tobago and missing out on the World Cup for the first time since 1986. Give you an update from Wrigley Field. You can hear that game, by the way, on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Cubs threatening to tie the game. We'll have that for you when we return. It's 4:53. The Todd Brolenkamp Show continues on after this.
This week, tune in to the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finny. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some of your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave. Available at Walmart.
I ride my bike to work, pack an organic lunch with produce I buy locally. It's all good, but face it, green living can cost a little more. Here I am saving the planet, and my wife hassles me because we don't have savings for a rainy day. So I go to Dupaco for a free money makeover. They recycle all my loans into one easy payment that saves enough green to fertilize my savings account and even help me kick a little back to my community. Dupaco's cooperative thinking puts money to work locally by providing friends and neighbors low-cost loans, funding for small businesses, and more. With Dupaco's sustainable money methods, you can save the planet, save your marriage, and still save a little extra for fundraisers in your neighborhood.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
Dupaco Community Credit Union. Federally insured by NCUA.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Ensure.
Trust.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider fumbling the ball?
Ooh.
It's time for help from the bench.
Time out.
Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the team from Future Systems today at 1-800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, about to put hour number one in the books. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, set to kick off hour number two. We'll talk Cubs, Nats as well. That game underway at Wrigley Field right now, just about to the halfway point, and they have made a pitching change. Jake Arrieta's day is done. Tristan Cockcroft, VSPN.com, will answer your fantasy football questions today at 6 o'clock. Just a reminder, use the Hertine and Stocker text line to get those questions to us now, and you will be at the front of the queue when Tristan joins us at 6:05. Showdown on the way tonight as well in hour number three. Hairball tickets could be yours if you answer more questions than your opponent during the 6 o'clock showdown. Right now, let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker spoke with the media in Iowa City today, and with the return of Brandon Snyder, he's likely to start at free safety, and sophomore Imani Hooker will slide over to be the starter at strong safety for the foreseeable future. He also spoke encouragingly about Manny Ragumba's recovery. Meanwhile, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz didn't really give an update on running back James Butler, but he didn't sound particularly optimistic that he's going to return after the bye week as initially targeted. Pro Football Focus released their weekly all-conference teams, and Iowa DBs Brandon Snyder and Imani Hooker were named to the All-Big Ten defense. Snyder, in fact, was also named to the National Team of the Week after recording three tackles, two breakups, and a pick six. Iowa State running back David Montgomery was named to the All-Big 12 offense for the fourth time in 6 weeks, and defensive back Brian Peavy to the defense. It was confirmed late yesterday that Cedar Rapids native and NASCAR Cup Series driver Landon Castle would be leaving Front Row Motorsports after the 2017 season, finding himself in a familiar position searching for a new team. He's got 253 Cup starts since 2010, and his next team will be his fifth. Today on KGYM, over on the FM frequencies, we've got the Cubs and Nationals going right now. The Nationals lead that game 1-0, headed to the fifth. And following that, we'll bring you the deciding Game 5 of the ALDS between the Yankees and Indians. It's going to be CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber on the hill. That's starting shortly after 7 on 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Jake Arrieta, 5 walks in 4 innings pitched today. Joe Maddon had said coming into the game one of his biggest concerns was Arrieta's fastball command. On in relief, out of the bullpen for the Cubs, left-hander John Lester.
So, well, this doesn't remind me of any other
I was just gonna say,
game in the playoffs that the Cubs have
played. Kind of similar to last year's postseason in several ways here, but Kyle Hendricks, you got Game 5. Lester's going to try to make sure that you don't have to pitch it. Hour number two on the way after this.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning?